Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 421, the stanzas 1 and 3. O God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place. How good and pleasant is thy dwelling. My thirsty soul longs earnestly, yea, faints thy holy courts to see. And what follows of 421, 1 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the book of the Psalms, and there of Psalm 23. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. A most holy, a most righteous, almighty, eternal, unchangeable, ever faithful, and ever good-doing God, when thou wast gathered us together by renewal on this holy Sabbath day, and we attempt with our unclean lips as a people to draw nigh unto thee, and may it please thee to grant a deep impression that we speak to thee high and lifted up, majestic and glorious, and that we are sinful creatures of the dust. May it please thee not only to give a bowing of the head, but also a bowing of the heart. Then, Lord, then also in this day, we have been the recipients of so many blessings from heaven. Then thou yet cometh to make a difference where there is no difference, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we remember all the hungry ones, the homeless ones, the destitute ones, the sick and afflicted ones, the persecuted ones, the great multitudes that are living in heathendom, and the great multitudes that are being deceived for eternity. Thou was written in thy word, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. And now by renewal, then we beg of thee, may it please thee to dwell richly amongst us, where the good shepherd is still gathering the church unto himself. It may still be proclaimed that there is still room in the sheepfold for us and our children. And thou knowest, Lord, that by nature there are none that shall seek after thee. And to that end we humbly ask thee that it may please thee to bless thy holy word in this very hour, that little lambs may be born in Zion who may desire the sincere milk of the word, to be drawn with the cords of love, the bridge to the world taken up, and with those living and ardent desires. Oh, may it be heard that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. Oh, what a precious token that would be, that thou knowest of us in a special way. Those that have learned to pray, may they be given to wrestle at thy throne of grace to that end. And those that have been born in Zion, then it is so necessary that those lambs may be fed, that they may be guided, and that they may grow. When there are sickly lambs, that they may be healed, and that they may become a sheep, O Lord, may it please thee to convert what is unconverted. Convert our little boys and our little girls. Convert our young people. Convert the middle-aged, and convert the elderly. It is a blessing that not one of us can miss. And what shall it be at the end, under such labors upon our souls, than to have to go lost forever and ever, O Lord? May it then please thee in this very hour to stretch out thy almighty arm, and that sinners may be saved. Spare us that we build not upon sandy foundations. Remember thy children. Remember those that have no name. Oh, the bridge to the world has been taken up. But thou knowest what a questions and what a riddles and what a perplexities and what a knots there can be. And to that end, and no freedom to place themself among the children of God. But may it please thee in this very hour to look down upon such, and that they may receive a name better than of sons and daughters, then they may rejoice with joy unspeakable. Wilt thou grant unto thy children that close, that tender, and that dependent life. May they need thee more and more, thy dear Son, as their prophet to instruct, as that only high priest to atone and to pray and thank, and also their king in that warfare against a triple-headed enemy. Wilt thou so remember the consistory each in their office, who is sufficient unto these things? May there be many errands in hers, and may all the labors be blessed. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Wilt thou work mightily and irresistibly? May it please thee to grant a revival. Remember all thy servants. Remember the students. Remember the candidate. Wilt thou go before him as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? And may the number of servants be increased where the fields are white to be harvested and the labors are few. Wilt thou in a special way remember all the vacant congregations? Remember also the flock which we have left behind. We commend the persecuted church unto thee, where in so many places on this Sabbath day they have gathered in secret with fear and trembling. Perhaps many have been arrested and others have been put to death. Wilt thou uphold and encourage them? And what maketh us and our children to differ, that in this day, that we so freely and unhindered may come up to thy courts? Remember the Jewish people. Wilt thou remember our mission field, all mission work? And may it please thee to incline a heart for a church worker. We also commend our Christian school unto thee in a time when staff and students may receive some rest. May it please thee to spare, and wilt thou also bind the need of teachers for our school upon our heart. We remember our country, the leaders. We have departed so far from thee. The unborn are daily murdered. The Sabbath day desecrated. The seventh commandment no longer respected. We have become a Sodom and Gomorrah. And thou hast destroyed those cities by fire and brimstone. May we and our children be given to see the signs of the time and not to become overly discouraged, but to cry unto thee, the living God. Then we commend by renewal unto thee the little children that have received the sign and the seal of the covenant in this morning hour, O Lord. May it please thee to do for them what is signified therein. Parents cannot give it, office bearers cannot work it. It is the work of a triune God. And may it be for the parents, O grand holy exercises, and may it be a baptism that they can never forget. And may it be an oath that weighs heavy upon their hearts, and may it bring them oftentimes on their knees. Oh, we remember a young couple who soon in 12 days hoped to be united in holy matrimony. Wilt thou go before them as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? Grant them a special place at thy footstool, and may they be given to beg of thee, that this marriage may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Remember all our elderly. A mother hopes to remember in this week that thou was added an other year unto her years. Wilt thou grant together with her husband what is necessary for body as they travel on life's pathway, but above all for her never dying soul. Remember all the elderly ones in the care home, those that are bound to their home, and those that may still come up to thy courts. May it please thee to convert them, as thou doth convert all thy people. Remember the sick and the afflicted, the old mother in the hospital with serious concerns. Lord, then by renewal, then we commend her unto thee for body and for soul. Remember her together with her husband. Remember all other tried ones. All the different circumstances are known unto thee. Remember the crosses, the burdens, the scars. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, remember the mourning ones with empty places in their life, in their hearts, the family circles. Wilt thou continue to place underneath those everlasting arms, and that out of the death of loved ones, that sinners may be born in Zion. Remember prodigal sons and daughters, and ah, Lord, wilt thou keep us and our dear youth under the old truth and under the old ways. Remember the member that has been placed under censure. O Lord, may it please thee to grant a place at thy footstool of true humility and of true repentance. While it may yet, and while it can yet, grant a prayer for one another. Lord, keep us and our children from sin and from temptation. Oh, do place a fiery wall round about us, where we live in the latter days of the earth, and Satan has but a short time. And now, Lord, by renewal, then we humbly beg of thee that thou may grant thy help in this evening hour. Then we have precious things to speak of the only comfort in life and of death. And Lord, who was able to declare the riches which thou was purchased, which thou granteth, and which thy children are given to experience. Ah, may it arouse to a holy jealousy. May we be given to speak as a dying man to a dying people. And may there be some milk for the little ones, a stronger meat for those that have been led further, and a heart of love and compassion for the unconverted, Lord. May it please thee, in the latter days of the earth, to grant a rich revival amongst us and our children. The psalmist has declared that they shall fear thee throughout all generations, as long as the sun and the moon endure. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou bind the devil? And, Lord, then by renewal, then we must confess that we have absolutely nothing to plead upon. But may we be given to plead upon thy mercy through thy Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us of all of our transgressions in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 71, the stanzas 1 through 4. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? And what follows, Psalter 71, the first four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, and then by renewal for Lord's Day number 1, the question and answers 1 and 2. Question number 1, what is thy only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Question number 2. How many things are necessary for thee to know, that thou enjoying this comfort mayest live and die happily? Answer, 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Zion's only comfort in life and death. Three thoughts in the first place, a weighty and searching question. In the second place, a rich and comprehensive answer. And in the third place, a necessary and blessed knowledge. A beloved congregation, the last Lord's Day, then we have tried to say a few words about the all-important question for us and our children. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And then, children, then you can remember what that word comfort means. That means to be happy, and that means to be without worries and anxiety. I can give you a simple example. It can be on a winter night, or when the wind is howling, when the snow is blowing, and that your parents, they bring you to bed. Of course, when you can read, then you must always read a portion out of the Bible. And then after you have prayed, then when your parents, they kiss you goodnight and tuck you under the blankets, that is comfort, when you may be given to trust in father and mother, that they shall care for you and that they shall feed and provide for you. And now, congregation, how has it now been the past week with that question? Have there been those that have pondered over that question, that have examined their heart? Were you in the past week? Because we must never despise the good things that the Lord gives in our life, and then to receive an impression what we deserve, and that the Lord still grants so many comforts. But when you were given to examine your comforts, maybe there are those that have a worm gnawing at their comfort. Others that have expected much happiness from this or that. And when you consider your life, that you had to come to the conclusion that it did not give the comfort that you expected. And then to consider, because the question asks, what is thy only comfort in life, but also in death? And then with all the good things and all the blessings which the Lord still so freely and liberally grants unto us and our children, but then to think of death. And then we can take none of the earthly comforts along. We shall be called upon to give an account of what we have done with those comforts, whether those comforts have brought us closer to the Lord, or whether we have departed further from His word. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Then the instructors, they mention life first. Thus that implies that for the child of God, that he is not a heaven seeker, but that he is a God seeker. We have sung together out of Psalm 27, where the psalmist in the exercise of faith may be given to testify of whom the Lord was and is for him, and with those holy desires and with those holy longings. Because the word of God, that either excludes or it includes. And now in this evening, then we hope to consider that answer. And it is an answer so rich, oh, young and old, may you be aroused to a holy jealousy, and may the Lord use it by His Spirit to show unto you what you miss, but also what is can be obtained by the free and sovereign grace of the Lord. Oh, the necessity of that only comfort, because we have but a short time here below. And my unconverted fellow travelers, when we have lived so long under the truth and are still unconverted, are there then never times that you are given to consider your life, that our life is quickly hastening away, and that there is but a step between us and eternity? Because without this only comfort, then we are so poor, and then we are so wretched. Oh, then there are times when we may stand on the pulpit that we would wish to take everyone along, but that is not our work, that is the Lord's work. But may it be granted in this evening hour that we may be given to speak richly of that only comfort. One of old has said that even if the ocean was ink and all the blades of grass were pens, then it would not be possible to write the fullness of the riches of that comfort which the Lord has purchased and which he grants to his people. We have read out of Psalm 23, oh, have there then been souls that have sat with a sigh in your soul and said, oh, Lord, may I now become a little lamb, may I now become a sheep of that good shepherd, because it is so necessary, boys and girls, if you now have a shepherd, let us say with about 1,000 sheep, and in that sheepfold there are no more lambs born or purchased, what shall then happen to such a sheepfold? Then it shall dwindle, and then it shall come to naught. And therefore the necessity for the work of the Holy Spirit, that new lambs may be born in Zion, that gives rejoicing to true Zion with joy unspeakable, and then the great shepherd is honored. And now the answer, it is believed that the answer, you remember, young people, those two young men who were instructed to compose the Heidelberg Catechism, that was Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus, and it is believed that that first answer, that as much resemblance to an answer that Caspar Olivianus has received from a priest. Oh, before the Reformation, there was much amiss, but in that church, the Lord still had a remnant, and that remnant was greatly troubled because they were taught, and in the time then Bibles were not readily available, and it was forbidden to own a Bible. Thus, fathers and mothers, boys and girls, what a privilege it is that we may have Bibles in our home and that we may read them in the family circle and personally. But now in that time, there was a church that was still distressed, that were wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, that have learned that they must be saved or they are forever lost, with an impression what it would be to be sent to that bottomless pit with that unquenchable fire. Oh, they were taught that they had to earn salvation by works, and now that working church have learned that their works are defiled with sin. And now Caspar Olivianus, as a young man, he was given to unburden himself to an older priest. And also among that remnant, there were those they could not understand everything and not agree with everything, but that have learned that it was only by grace through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. And then when Olivianus has unburdened himself, oh, what a blessing when you may meet such souls that are burdened with that only comfort as a missing and a seeking people, and that know not how to be saved, because congregation, when the Lord works, then they must be taught everything. Ah, then they do not know how such a black and vile sinner can be saved. But now that old priest, he has given such a fatherly and such a tender answer. And then he said to Olivianus, my boy, ye must never forget that God's people of all ages, even in the Old Testament, found their only comfort in life and death in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is thought that perhaps for the introduction that answer that has remained in the mind of Olivianus, and to that end have incorporated into this answer, that I, with body and soul, because Christ has purchased his people for body and soul, thus then the instructors are not only given to speak of our souls, but also of our bodies, a creation of God. And in the Old Testament, it was forbidden to cut and to mark up our bodies. And now for body and soul, both in life and death, because the Lord has a people. Oh, we have sung together out of Psalm 26. That is the life of the church, that they may experience that comfort here in the time. The Lord has a prepared people for a prepared place, and that eternal life that begins here below. And then the Lord, by his Spirit, and then he grants those new desires and those new longings. Oh, young and old, has that ever taken place in your life? Has it now become different? Oh, what perhaps we used to hate, and that we begin to love? Oh, has the service of the Lord, has that become a precious service? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own. Then a wonder has taken place. Oh, when the Lord has created us, then we were the Lord's. Oh, it was the life of Adam and Eve to walk in that sweet communion with her God, to give that perfect gratitude, to be in the service of their Maker and their benefactor. But what have we done, boys and girls? We have given the right hand of fellowship to the devil. We have believed him, because Satan has said to Eve, "Then ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And now by nature, then we like to think that we are our own, that we are our own boss. That becomes evident in our little children with their strong will, that they may be kings. But now the composers of our catechism, based upon God's holy word, they are given to speak of a great wonder, that I am no longer my own. Oh, in the state of nature, then we like to think that we are own, but then we are under the banner of the Prince of Darkness. And then we are under the captivity of our own lust. Then we go as a sheep to the slaughter. But now the instructor may speak of that wonder of free and sovereign grace, that I am no longer my own. And that means, young people, that we receive a new master. That means that by the grace of God, that we are brought from under the banner of the Prince of Darkness, and that we are placed under the glorious banner of King Jesus. I am no longer my own. Young and old, has that wonder now taken place in our life? Have we received those new desires? Have we bid farewell to the world? Have we learned the exceeding sinfulness of sin? Oh, have we lost our have we learned our lost condition? Oh, I am no longer my own. And when the Lord begins to work, then that holy warfare begins, and then the instructors are given to speak of glorious things. And no longer my own, then I become a servant and a handmaiden. That is the name that the saints have given themselves. Oh, it is true, those servants and those handmaidens, they have to write bitter things against themselves. Oh, many times disobedient, many times a wandering sheep, but that people have made that good and that unregrettable choice of a roof. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Oh, then we are ruined for the world, and then we become a seeker. And now the instructors, and they are given to speak of the wonderful things of the Lord. Ah, we may say it this way, then it were as it were, the blessings of the covenant of grace, they are placed as in a cabinet before us, that we may be aroused to a holy jealousy, and where the Lord has begun, that we may examine ourselves, and not my own. Oh, a poet of a former day has said, 'tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not, young and old? Has that ever become your question? Because when the Lord works, ah, then the assaults and the temptations, the riddles and the questions. But ah, when the church may be given to open God's word, then there are times when they may come up to God's house, that that way may be declared, that the Lord leads his people, oh, no longer my own. And then it becomes the concern, then it becomes the prayer, that we may experience this Lord's Day further, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. We must understand, congregation, that Lord's Day number one, as it were, is a summary and an introduction to the catechism. And then through the Lord's days, then it shall be declared those wonderful works of the Lord. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Who do you belong to? What an important question. It is a question that concerns time and eternity. Oh, with us, without this only comfort, then we are so poor and so wretched. We have heard in this morning hour of that tree, the axe at the root of the tree, and my unconverted fellow travelers to eternity. If it may please the Lord by that axe to cut off the brittle thread of your life, what shall it then be to appear before the judge of heaven and earth, and then lost for it for a never-ending eternity? But then in this question, oh, it is declared the possibility. The Lord is still gathering a church. May be declared that there is still room in the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd. And now in the exercise of faith, maybe a soul in this evening that may believe that the Lord has wrought wonderfully upon their soul, a soul that may experience that it has become different, a soul that has tasted of the precious things of the Lord. But now to exclaim, oh, are the souls, is that the desire, is that the need and the seeking, to be able to say, oh, as a lamb, as a sheep of the Good Shepherd, we have heard of the Psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, then the instructors, then they are given to lift up that precious mediator. Oh, how faithful he was in the Council of Peace. There I read in Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy law, O my God, and thy law is within my heart. Ah, then he has given himself, then he was willing to come upon this earth, that the chiefest of sinners, the blackest of sinners, that have given themselves over in the deep fall of Adam, that lie in the mire, that are not seeking for the Lord, because they read in Psalm 14, the verses 2 and 3, that the Lord has looked down from heaven, if there were any that sought the Lord. No, there are none that are seeking that true comfort, but now that faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, oh, He has not only given Himself, but in the fullness of time, then He has assumed our human nature. Then He has suffered, then He has died. Oh, then He has risen, and He sits at the right hand of the Father for the ingathering of His church, and also for the preserving of that church unto my faithful Savior. Then we read, in this Lord's Day, of that word my, we read me 6 times, and my 4 times, and Martin Luther has said that the comfort for the child of God that lies in the use of those personal pronouns, people of God, how is it? Oh, it is already precious, that refuge taken faith, when there may be a fleeing, when we may behold this beauty of that faithfulness. And now He was faithful in the meriting of salvation, and He is faithful in the application. My faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins, then you understand it, congregation. Then it is spoken in the exercise of faith. When we read the Heidelberg Catechism, then it is best to understand it, that it is a student that is on the beginning of that way, that he is given to ask a more exercised child of God with a holy longing and with a holy jealousy, that he may hear of that only comfort, and not only to hear, but how we may obtain that comfort. My faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who was fully satisfied for all my sins, young and old, how is it with our sins? Are they still all in our account? The sins original and sins actual. And can we still live on so easily? Or have our sins become a burden? Have we learned that our sins, that they cause that separation, a breach that is so wide that we can never bridge over? Ah, the Lord, He makes room for His grace. Then He uncovers His church to their lost condition. They are given to cry, they are given to beg, and they learn that with all their works and with all their reformation, with their tears, with their repentance, that they are a guilty sinner still. Are there a few guilty sinners in my midst in this morning hour, or have we in this evening hour, or do we live upon this world as we have no guilt? And people of God, how is it with our sins? Oh, precious when we may be uncovered, precious when we may be given to confess them with those bitter and sweet tears, that we are given to cry unto the Lord for mercy and forgiveness. But it is so necessary that we may be led further, the further exercises. Oh, maybe a few souls, when this answer was read with a cry, "Ach, Lord, may that be my portion, that in the full assurance of faith, that I may be given to believe, that I am a sheep of the good shepherd, And then I shall be so glad. And then I may sing with David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. To be led in the green pastures of his holy word, and to be led beside those still waters. Then it is well for body and for soul. Let us first sing. Of Psalter 27, the first four stanzas. O God, preserve me, for in thee alone my trust has stood. My soul has said, thou art my Lord, my chief and only good. And what follows, Psalter 27, the first four stanzas. and delivers me from all the power of the devil. Thomas Watson, a Scottish Puritan, has stated in a certain place that by the work of grace that the church is delivered from the possession of the devil, but not from the temptations that shall only take place when the Lord takes his children home. And now when the Lord works, it has been said many a times that when the Lord builds his church, that the devil with all the powers of hell, that he shall try to destroy the same. And now when the Lord works by his grace, then a child of God is enrolled in that warfare against that triple-headed enemy. And that triple-headed enemy, that is their flesh, that is the world, and that is the devil. Then we must not make the wrong application, congregation, because when we are brought up under the truth, then there shall be a certain warfare against those enemies. It is still a blessing when our conscience may still speak, that is, boys and girls, that is, as a policeman, that is the Lord speaking unto us in a special way. And then with all the sins and the temptations, even in a natural heart, then what a warfare and what a struggles there can be. But then we must separate between those struggles and the warfare of a child of God. It is necessary that we realize that there are also common convictions which are not saving. Then I hear some people ask, but what is now the difference? And I hope, boys and girls, young and old, that we may still have those convictions, that under the means of grace, that we are not thoughtless. We have heard this morning of the children of Israel, that they were given to muse upon what they have heard. It is a blessing when we are not careless. And what an awful judgment it is when under the means of grace that we are hardened more and more. To say it simply, when hell no longer scares and when heaven no longer draws, when we have heard in this morning of that axe that lieth at the root of the tree, and that we can continue so easy trying to excuse ourselves and not believing that we are that tree. And then in this evening hour, and who was able to declare the riches of what Christ has merited for his church, but that it does not make us jealous. In Luke 7, then Christ has spoken in verse 31 and 32 of those children playing upon the streets of Jerusalem. And then there was some children playing wedding and others playing funeral. And then he has said to that people that they have not rejoiced, they have not danced, and they have not wept. But now the difference the saving convictions of the Holy Spirit that brings us closer to His throne and closer to His Word. And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit not to let us rest. And we live in a time also where we may believe that the Lord has begun that good and precious work of grace in certain souls, that it seems to come to such a standstill. But then it is so necessary for a soul, oh, not to despise. You must not do that, Church of God, because when we despise the day of small things, and then I hear a soul say, oh, if I could only believe and hold on to it, that it was the true work of the Lord and the true conversion, then I would not be so afraid. But it is such a mysterious ways, and when I consider my heart and my sin, then there can be so many doubts, and then there can be so much unbelief. But now it is so necessary and profitable for a child to God in the preaching of the Word, that he may hear what he has received by free and sovereign grace, but that he may also hear what he still misses. And now those true convictions, oh, they shall bring him closer and closer to the Lord. And I read in John 16, verse 14, that it is the work of the Spirit to glorify Christ in the heart of a sinner, and so preserves me from all the power of the devil. When we read the writings of our old fathers, they have written more of that heavy warfare with the devil than they have even spoken of physical matters. But no, now the instructors are given to point to that faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who has cried out on the cross of Calvary that it is finished. That warfare has been declared in Genesis 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. It was a word spoken to the devil. Oh, then before the Lord, there stood an Adam and an Eve, covered with those fig leaves, and the devil. And then the Lord has said at that moment, I will put enmity between Adam and Eve and between the devil. And that takes place in the moment of regeneration. And what does the church now experience? That they have no power against all those enemies. But now our instructor is given to point the Church of God, oh, troubled and afflicted souls, assaulted by the devil, sometime even mocked, and that we have no answer, and the devil many times comes with truth. Oh, then the instructor is given to point the church. When we think of Hezekiah, when Rabshakeh has surrounded the city of Jerusalem, then the order was given not to speak a word. Oh, when the church may point to the Word of God, when the church may be given to look upon that faithful Savior who has declared in Matthew 28, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth, and then the devil must flee, and so delivers me from all the power of the devil, oh, in so far that it pleases. Because all things work together for good to them that love God and that are called according to His purpose. I read in Romans 8, verse 28, oh, then also the insults, the mockery of the devil as that hellish wolf, oh, then he is given to drive because the church learns that they are such wandering sheep. Oh, those wandering sheep, and that wonder only becomes greater, the faithfulness of that precious Savior, that they may still be a sheep, and that each time by renewal that he seeks out those wandering sheep. But now the devil, oh, then he is also used for the welfare of the church of God. Then as that hellish wolf, then he drives those sheep back to the shepherd and delivers me from all the power of the devil and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Congregation, we must close in this evening hour. What precious things that the instructors are given to speak about. And how is it now with our souls, boys and girls? How is it with our boys and girls? Have you received a new heart? What is that, to receive a new heart? We use that expression many times, but children, do you know what that is? That is when the Lord grants a heart to love the Lord, to hate sin, that we learn that we are a poor sinner, and that we need to be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is when the Lord works early in our hearts. Privileged children that do not know of another tongue. Are there such children in my midst? And how is it with our young people? No, it does not begin with a knowledge of the Savior. Begins with regeneration. And then we receive those new desires and those new longings. Oh, then as a general rule, we shall try to hide it. But then it shall be seen in our life that the world has become death and that we have made a good choice of a Ruth. Are there young people that have made that choice? Or are you still hard following after the world? What do you think, young people? Do you think you shall find the true comfort in this world? Shall never be. That is only to be found in the service of the Lord. Middle-aged, life is quickly passing on. The Lord has spared hitherto. The Lord has given many comforts. But tell me now those worldly comforts, not to despise them. But has it given the true satisfaction? And then if you are honest, then you must say no. What a worry it can be to keep the comforts that we have. And then, each day, coming closer to eternity, how many are taken away middle-aged has been experienced in the midst of the congregation. And then tell me in this evening hour, how many of your earthly comforts can you take along? Paul has written to Timothy that we come naked into the world and naked we shall return. And then to appear before our judge with all our sins. And then to hear those awful words, depart from me, accursed, into everlasting fire. Elderly ones in my midst, the Lord has spared and is patient, long-suffering for many years. And then there is one thing needful, and that is to be born again. A people of God, oh, what a precious answer, the riches of the covenant of grace. How far have we been led? We read in this answer already of that precious Savior. Oh, let us remember that outside of that only name, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. The Lord work mightily, lovingly, by His Holy Spirit amongst us and our children, that many lambs may be born in the sheepfold, and that the lambs, that they may become sheep. And when there are those wandering lambs, that they may be restored. Oh, we have read it together, that David could say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have tried to stammer a little bit about the riches which have been purchased and laid away for thy true Zion. And then we humbly beg of thee, may thou use it for the conversion of sinners and for the instruction, for the edification and comfort of thy Zion. Thou wast given that we may commence another week, and thou shalt fulfill all thy counsel. But thou wast taught thy church to come with all our cares and with all our needs. To that end we humbly ask thee, wilt thou remember the mothers in the home with the children? Wilt thou remember the fathers at work, on the field, on the way, wherever we are called to be? Wilt thou keep from harm and danger? Wilt thou keep from sin and temptation? Wilt thou grant strength and courage for our daily labors? And may we be given to meditate upon what we have heard. And may we be broad in our knees, Lord. We are ready to leave one another. What a blessing it is when the church may meet one another at thy throne of grace. Make us more a praying and a begging people. Bring us now safely to our homes and forgive everything that was sinful in speaking and in listening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 55, the stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me, and no one shall find me there. And what follows Psalter 55, the stanzas 1 and 2. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.